Everyone will stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures. We'll read one verse, Genesis 11:4. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach in unto heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth." You may be seated. This is part 12 of The Unholy Seed. It's going to be about Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz, which is a very controversial subject. It shows why we're not one of the mainstream churches, that's for sure. There was a very damaging fire in France. The Cathedral of Notre Dame, translated into English, means the chair of Our Lady, was partially destroyed by the flames and smoke. Our Lady is the Queen of Heaven. There was a statue of her with her son, reincarnated husband, in the right side of the cathedral. There is already, after 1 week, over $1 billion pledged to rebuild and fix all the damage that was done to the cathedral, with all its statues, pictures, and carvings throughout the massive tourist attraction. This famous Catholic church is named after who? The Queen of Heaven? Why is this the case? Why isn't it named after Jesus the Christ? This sermon will attempt to answer this question. And there we have a picture of what's on the right side of the Cathedral of Notre Dame. And you probably can't see all this, but there is probably a dozen or so images down here. You can see it on our website when you get to this picture, all these different things. It's full of statues and carvings and paintings. Last week we studied the history of the fourth son of Ham, whose name was Canaan, and Ham's second son, whose name was Mizraim. Both became enemies of some of the descendants of Shem. Mizraim, after almost 200 years, enslaved the sons of Jacob while they were living in Egypt, while Canaan were squatters living in the land that was inherited by some of the descendants of Shem. Let's look at the family tree. There's Noah, Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. This is four sons of Ham. And Cush, his son was Nimrod. These are all brothers here. Egypt, and they were squatters in the Promised Land. We're going to study about Nimrod. Today we'll do a study of one of the sons of Cush, who was the eldest son of Ham. Mizraim and Canaan were uncles to Nimrod. But Nimrod, the scripture says, was a mighty hunter, which probably meant that he established the first kingdom with the first universal pagan religion, first false religion, opposing God since the flood of Noah. Nimrod, no doubt, built the infamous Tower of Babel in the ancient city of Babylon, although it doesn't tell us that in the Bible. What was the universal false religion that united the sons of Noah at the tower? This religion of ancient Babylon was against and opposed to the Lord God of Shem. Nimrod was a mighty warrior, champion, giant, or the strong one. He was a tyrant and despot, oppressing the sons of Ham, Cush, and Shem. It had been about one century since the earth-changing flood, when the descendants of the three sons of Noah were mainly living in or near Babylonia. Nimrod restricted the scattering of the children of Noah by building the massive tower that was in the city of Babylon. This kept the people near the building to worship. One of the reasons of the tall tower was to protect the people from another flood. But if they didn't worship the Lord God, then who did they worship? There is very little information given us in the Bible about the Tower of Babel. But it does tell us that one of the reasons for it being built was to keep the sons of Noah from being, quote, scattered abroad the face of the whole earth, unquote. Genesis 11:4, second part. All we are told is that the Lord God was very displeased and foiled the whole operation by confounding their languages, so they had to scatter with those who spoke the same language. Thus the three sons of Noah and their descendants were scattered to their allotted part of the earth of the Mediterranean Sea, not the whole earth as we discussed last week. Does anybody remember which son went to the north? It was Japheth. What son went to the south? Ham. And in the Middle East was Shem. What was their universal language that they believed? And did it die out when they were scattered, or did it go with them? Is it still in existence today? Is the religion of the Tower of Babel still believed by many individuals in today's world? That's my four-part questions. Nimrod, who was the great-grandson of Noah, was king of the descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He was not the king of the Chinese, the Philippines, the Mexicans, the Incas, the Zulus, so forth. He was the king of the people who were descended from the three sons of Noah who came off the ark. Who did Nimrod marry? The Bible doesn't tell us. But according to the historian Eusebius, Semiramis, Noah's granddaughter, was both the mother and wife of Nimrod. Both the mother and wife? Yes. Semiramis was both the mother to Nimrod and his wife. But that is not all. She also was the mother of his reincarnated self, in the form of the baby Tammuz. But first, she was the wife of Cush, the son of Ham. Now, I've got another chart. Ham, and then Cush and Semiramis. When Cush died, she married Nimrod. Then when Nimrod died, he became a sun god, or it was an unknown person. No doubt it was an unknown person. And Semiramis produced Tammuz, the reincarnation of Nimrod. Got a picture of Tammuz. But look at the bottom of her feet. What is that? The moon. Semiramis was the wife of Cush while the Tower of Babel was being built. Their son was Nimrod. After the destruction of the tower, Cush was disgraced by his failure to lead the people that Nimrod had so strongly led. And after Cush died, Semiramis did the unthinkable. She married her own son. Shades of what Ham had done. Ham didn't marry his mother, he just raped her. Semiramis, after her first husband had died, married her son. What a family. But that is not all. Please listen and or read on. By marrying Nimrod, Semiramis could still maintain somewhat of an authority over the populace as long as Nimrod, her son, now husband, remained in charge. But once Nimrod was murdered, Semiramis was again in danger of losing all that she had. Semiramis became pregnant after engaging in an affair while married in the days right before the death of Nimrod. Around the same time of the affair, Nimrod dies a violent and untimely death. to retain power and to hide her misdeeds, Semiramis made a most audacious claim. She publicly declared that upon Nimrod's death, he had gone to be the god of the sun, and as the sun god called Baal, Nimrod used his sun rays to miraculously inseminate Semiramis with a child. The child was thus considered to be divinely conceived. The child's name was Tammuz, which she claimed was the reincarnated Nimrod. Thus Semiramis was both Nimrod's wife and twice his mother. Now Israel became Baal worshippers, and they wept for Tammuz. Where have we heard about reincarnation before? Hinduism, which goes back over 6,000 years, teaches that form of immortality. The religion of ancient Babylon contained the main teaching from the garden that the serpent had first tempted Eve with, immortality by the process of reincarnation, to eventually be equal with the gods. I have another question. Where did she, Semiramis, get that information from? Let's stop right here and do a little reasoning. Who is the whore of Babylon? Revelation chapter 17, verse 15 and 16. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. In the beginning, I told you about a fire in France. Who was this wife of Cush and then married her own son, Nimrod, then had an affair with an unknown person who then blamed it on her dead husband, who she said was reincarnated inside her womb? Who was this person? The whore of Babylon is none other than Semiramis, the mother, then wife, then mother the second time of the reincarnated Nimrod. If Semiramis could convince her populace that her unborn son was the one who would indeed save the world, she might still retain all her power. She came up with an original story. She told her people that Nimrod went to be in the sun at his death. He was now Baal, the sun god. Semiramis was very despondent and sad. She was willing to do almost anything to get her slain son slash husband back. So she devised an evil and great plan. She said that she had died and followed him into the underworld. Because of Semiramis' great love for her son, husband, she pleaded for his return while she was down in the underworld. With all these pleas, she began to feel that the spirits or gods of the underworld were judging her, as they couldn't make up their mind about Nimrod. She was reportedly inside the underworld for how long? Would you believe she was there for 3 days and three nights? Near the end of this time, she sent a desperate message once again to her pagan gods for help. They devised an original plan. Nimrod couldn't rise from the dead on his own because, as the story goes, after his death, he had been chopped up into various parts, which was sent to different parts of the empire. Semiramis was able to gather all the missing parts except for one. Nimrod's reproductive organ. Oh, thus we have all the monuments representing this missing organ. Since he was missing this one part, he could not come back as himself. But Nimrod would have to come back to the earth in another way. The gods informed Semiramis that she would be able to bring Nimrod back as another person. The warming rays of the sun, via the sun god, would cause her to immaculately conceive, which allowed her to bring forth a baby, the reincarnated soul of Nimrod. Thus, they both would, in an esoteric way, be brought back from the underworld and back up to the earth. Semiramis would return to the earth in a dramatic way, a very dramatic way, and Tammuz would be the reincarnated Nimrod. Semiramis did become pregnant, and she was able to go around claiming her baby was this reborn, renewed, or otherwise reincarnate Nimrod back from the underworld. This newborn baby Tammuz, who was the reincarnated Nimrod, was considered the savior of the pagan world because he was able to break the hold of God's death on the world and keep the false faith of the pagan populace alive. That is what the Hindus believe. They are reincarnated repeatedly until they eventually reach godhood. But eventually, Semiramis, Queen of Heaven, and Tammuz, the reincarnated Nimrod, had to go back to the underworld. This would take us to the time of autumn and the celebration of what? The celebration of Halloween. So Easter, from then on, was commemorated as the time of rebirth, renewal, or reincarnation of a major pagan god. He was brought back to life to prove to the world that he was the one who conquered death and that his pagan ways were the right ways a person should use for their salvation, not the blood of the covenant shed by Jesus the Christ. It wasn't what Jesus the Christ had done, dying and being resurrected for a hopeless people. It was what Nimrod had done, become a god by reincarnation. Easter is a holiday that states that this is what the celebrant believes. We have salvation by reincarnation. The universal salvation started by the great-grandson and the granddaughter of Noah, who were not of the covenant seed. Nimrod was of Cush, and his wife also probably came from his seed too. The pagans hijacked the story of the coming of the kinsman redeemer of Israel to make it a universal redeemer whose death, burial, and resurrection was the salvation of all the individuals of the world. Salvation available to everyone, not just the few. So now we have the holiday of Easter really comes from Babylon. Mystery Babylon. Spreading out first to the various nations or empires of the world who had originally been at the Tower of Babel. Egypt, which was settled by the uncle of Nimrod, was one of the first. And this religion spread to the ends of the earth. It eventually reached the other races, cultures, and countries. Most quote-unquote Christians today celebrate the holidays of the Mass of Christ, commonly called Christmas, Easter, and Halloween, and have adopted them as being quote-unquote Christian when they are nothing more than pagan. Where are we commanded in the Bible to celebrate the Mass of Christ or Christmas or Easter or Halloween? They are the days of the other races, other gods, and other rituals. If you integrate, you will, quote, learn the way of the heathen, unquote. We have learned the wrong way. Now I understand how, quote, the world was deceived, unquote. It comes from Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Who was born on December 25th? It was Nimrod and his reincarnated self. Where in the Bible does it say that Jesus Christ was born on that day? It doesn't. In fact, it can be surmised that he was really born in the fall of the year at Tabernacles. So why do most Christians celebrate the birthday of Jesus on December 25th? They are celebrating the wrong person's birthday. They are really celebrating the reincarnated Nimrod's, Baal's, birthday. And what does the Christmas tree have to do with his birth? Is there anything in the Bible that says his followers are to remember his birth by committing an evergreen tree and putting it in their homes and decorating it? Jeremiah chapter 10, 1 through 4, hear the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. So he's speaking to the house of Israel. Thus saying the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. It is not in the Bible where there is a story of an evergreen tree that is made sacred, but in the story of Tammuz. In fact, God's covenant people are warned to not to have anything to do with evergreen trees connected with the worship of the Lord God of Israel. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 20. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that it shall not be moved. Who is this Queen of Heaven? I will remind you that the Roman Catholic Church has a church very close to where we are meeting that is called the Queen of Heaven Catholic Church. They may think that's honoring the mother of Jesus, but it's really honoring Semiramis, the mother of the reincarnated God. Who was Semiramis again? She was the great-granddaughter of Noah, who first married Cush. After his death, she married their son Nimrod. After his death, she died and went to the underworld. And after 3 days and nights, got the pagan gods to plan to have her immaculately conceive a child who would be the reincarnated Nimrod. It's a mystery. What if this unborn child was the promised seed, the one destined to crush the serpent's head, able to remove the curse of sin and death which began in the garden? This would raise the status of Semiramis to a godlike state in her own right. Semiramis, both mother and wife to Nimrod, was made pregnant after he died by the sun rays, and Nimrod was reincarnated in her womb and was her child, which was nothing more than Nimrod reborn. To verify what Semiramis was saying was that she slept with no man in this case and became pregnant by his quote-unquote Holy Spirit. Semiramis would have to be looked upon as the great mother or even a virgin mother of this new wonderful faith. Semiramis is worshipped as Mary by the Roman Catholics. Got a picture of Semiramis. Here's a picture of Semiramis depicted in ancient times. Notice what she's holding in her left hand. A cross. Look at the top of her head. Does that remind you of another statue? It's not just the Roman Catholics. Look at what America has greeting their immigrants as they come to New York. And there's the torch of Nimrod. The Statue of Liberty given to the United States by the French Freemasons. And what about the company that produces many of the Hollywood movies that we have seen? Or is it just a coincidence? What is the name of our capital city? Washington, D.C. What does D.C. stand for? The District of
Criminals.
Criminals. The District of Columbia. That's a strange name, isn't it? The District of Columbia. There's Columbia. Oh. Holding the torch. I say the torch of Nimrod. The flame of Nimrod, the sun god. Columbia or Queen Semiramis. But what happened when Semiramis said that she died? She went to be with Nimrod, who was in the sun, but he was not ready for her. So he sent her to the moon. The moon. The moon who ovulates every 28 days. This will be important. She ovulates every 28 days. Sent her back to the earth in a giant egg that landed in the Euphrates River. What are you laughing about? You had an Easter eggs that you decorated. I decorated them. But that's not all. Semiramis returned to Babylonia via the space egg from the full moon. It had just ovulated. The egg was pushed ashore by a dove. And after Semiramis emerged from the egg as Astarte or Ishtar, she showed her gratitude to the dove by turning it into a egg-laying rabbit. Has anyone seen an egg-laying rabbit? I haven't. This was to have happened at the time of the first full moon after the spring equinox. Semiramis became known as Ishtar, which is pronounced Easter, and her moon egg became known as the Easter egg in our culture. Ishtar soon became pregnant, as the story goes, and claimed it was the rays of the sun god Baal that caused her to conceive. The son she brought forth was named Tammuz. His birth date, December 25th, the same date as his father, December 25th. Both the father and his reincarnated self by the name of Tammuz was born on December 25th. Nimrod, Tammuz, and Baal's birthday were on December 25th. That is strange. Do you know anyone else whose birthday is on this same day? When Tammuz was 40 years old, he was killed by a wild boar. Queen Semiramis, or Ishtar, told the people that Tammuz was now ascended to his father Baal, and that the two of them would be with the worshippers in the sacred candle, torch, or lamp flame as father and son. There is another church close to where we meet that is called the Torch Church. I wonder who they worship. Ishtar, who is now worshipped as the mother of God and queen of heaven, continued to build her mystery religion. The queen told the worshippers that when Tammuz was killed by the wild pig, some of his blood fell on the stump of an evergreen tree, and the stump grew into a full new tree overnight. This made the evergreen tree sacred by the blood of Tammuz. She also proclaimed a 40-day period of sorrow each year prior to the anniversary of the death of Tammuz. During this time, no meat was to be eaten. Sound familiar? Worshippers were to meditate upon the sacred mysteries of Baal and Tammuz and to make the sign of the T in front of their hearts as they worshiped. They also ate sacred cakes with the marking of a T or cross on the top. I've got a picture of some of the hot cross buns. Every year on the first Sunday, after the first full moon, after the spring equinox, so it's a movable holiday, a celebration was made. It was Ishtar Sunday and was celebrated with rabbits and eggs. Ishtar also proclaimed, because Tammuz was killed by a pig, that a pig must be eaten on that Sunday. Is all what I told you true? Is this what they believed shortly after the ark landed after the flood? There was a person who was born on December 25th, who was married to his own mother. He died, became Baal, the sun god. While Nimrod was there as Baal, the sun god, his wife had an affair, covered up by saying that her dead husband impregnated her by the sun rays and reincarnated himself in her. Nimrod was reincarnated as Tammuz. Tammuz was born also on December 25th. After 40 years, Tammuz is killed by a wild pig, and some of his blood spills on the stump of an evergreen tree, which overnight grew into a giant tree. So Semiramis dictated there be first 40 days of Lent, remembering the 40 years of Tammuz, cultivated by the eating of the pig on the day that he died. There were also Ishtar eggs, remembering her rebirth. December 25th was celebrated as his birth and with evergreen trees. All this was done in an attempt to unite all the sons of Noah to oppose the god of Shem. Now, how was Easter celebrated? There was a sunrise service. Any of you been to sunrise service? I've been to one. Lent is observed. Anybody observe Lent? I've never observed Lent, but I think a lot of you have. There's an Easter egg hunt. Anybody have Easter egg hunt? I'd have Easter egg hunt. Ended by an Easter Sunday meal. I had an Easter Sunday meal, but this main meat, ham. I ate ham at the Easter meal. The meat of swine. All the observances are done in honor of the gods that were born on December 25th and are honored by having the evergreen tree displayed publicly in remembrance of his life. We had a Christmas tree in our house. All this was done in an attempt to unite all the races of the world to oppose the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Again, I'll ask the question, can anyone give me a scripture that instructs Christians to celebrate by having a sunrise service, observe Lent, or have an Easter egg hunt, or a helicopter drop egg hunt, like the church that's down the street did, or having a large meal with ham as the choice of meat? Are there any scriptures giving the birth date of Jesus the Christ as being on December 25th and having evergreen trees honoring this birth? Are there any scriptures that tell us any of the true followers of the Lord God of Israel who were doing any of the preceding things? If not, why does most of the world do them now? The false religion that was the erroneous way of the Tower of Babel was the celebration of Christmas, Easter, and Halloween. One evil thing that the celebration of Easter does is to make Christians eat ham, pig meat, at the Easter dinner. That is an abomination to Almighty God, and this animal was forbidden for the people to eat. Tammuz was killed by a wild boar. So in remembrance of this event, we are to eat ham. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 7. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Swine are commonly known as hogs or pigs. There is a large controversy regarding whether Christians should be allowed to consume pork and other pig meat products. Some say that it was not allowed in the Old Testament, but is okay now in the New Testament. Cincinnati was known as Porkalopolis due to its large immigrant German pork farms and processing center. We even now have a series of races called the Flying Pig, which honor his heritage. Got another question. What was wrong with eating pig in the Old Testament? And what change in the animal was made to make it okay to eat it now? And it's not just the pig that is forbidden to eat. There is the rat, the raccoon, the rabbit, the squirrel, the camel, turtles, lobsters, clams, shrimp, hawks, bats, buzzards, vultures, and many other animals that are forbidden to be eaten also. So all the animals that were harmful are now good for us to eat. Not just some of them, but all of them. Most of the animals forbidden for us to eat are scavengers, and some of these unclean animals can eat just about anything on the earth. This is true with the pig. It eats everything. They are the great trash cans, and they consume anything that falls their way. They were not intended for consumption by the children of the covenant. I've got a picture here. We shall not eat any abominable things. Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14. And we got over here the pig. On earth, these are unclean animals. The beasts that do not both chew the cud and have cloven hoofs. Well, they still are that way. Like the swine, the hare, the rabbit, the camel, the mouse, the frog, the mole, the lizards, the tortoise, and the snail. All unclean. On the water, unclean, those who do not have both fins and scales, like shellfish, lobster, there's a picture of the lobster, crayfish, crabs, shrimps, so forth, and seafood, oysters, clams, etc. In the air, unclean, eagle, vulture, buzzard, kite, falcon, raven, ostrich, seagulls, owl, hawk, stork, heron, hoopy, jackdaw, bat, carrion, vulture, every creeping thing that flies. This is a chart showing the unclean animals that God said were abomination to him if we ate these unclean animals. You can't just say the pig's clean and all these animals are still unclean. I don't know most people that eat a bat. I never heard anybody eat a bat unless they're completely batty. People eat lobster, clam, shrimp, all kind of fish. And this is a picture of the next one. The lifestyle. There's a tapeworm and the pig. You get all these worms. You can study that from our website. Due to their scavenger lifestyle, they harbor enormous amounts of viruses and parasites. Pigs are known to be primary carriers of the following pathogenic organisms that can create very serious health problems. You've got a tapeworm. You have a reproductive and respiratory syndrome and viruses connected with the pig. A Consumer Report investigation found that 69% of all raw pork samples tested were contaminated with high amounts of volatile microorganisms. This bacterium causes fever and gastrointestinal stress and could potentially cause a fatal infection. Animals that, quote, chew the cud, unquote, as it says in the Bible, are called ruminants. These animals hardly chew their food when it's first swallowed. But they have four stomachs that digest and regurgitate food through a special process that allows complete digestion. The major ruminants are cows, sheep, and goats. The digestive system of a pig is unique in that it metabolizes food very quickly through one stomach in a process that takes about 4 hours. A cow takes 24 hours to digest what's eaten and is able to get rid of excess toxins during the digestive process. The pig's digestive system doesn't allow for this, and the toxins are carried into the fat cells and organs of the pig itself. Another important point is that pigs do not have sweat glands. Precipitation is a key method the body uses for detoxification, and the pig is not designed to perspire. When we consume pig meat, we get all of these microorganisms, environmental toxins into our system. We are forbidden to even touch the dead carcass of a pig. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 8. And the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcass. Think a second. If the pig is an unclean animal, why would our Lord require or even suggest to us that we should eat this unclean animal in honor of his resurrection? Another possibility, this is a ritual of a false masquerading religion that glorifies itself whenever it can get a covenant person to ignore or contradict the laws of its Lord God. My conclusion. Who was worshiping Nimrod and the reincarnated Nimrod and his mother, wife, the Queen of Heaven, Semiramis? It was the white offspring of Cush, Ham, and most of Shem. That is where it began and it spread to all the countries of the world, including all races and cultures. There was only a remnant of Shem, only a remnant of Shem that rejected this false storyline of the universal Savior and the worship of his mother. And my next sermon will show you how this happened. Semiramis, the Queen of Heaven, is worshipped. The wife of Cush, and after his death, the wife of their mighty son, Nimrod. After his murder, Nimrod was said to be in the sun and was represented by candles, torches, and flames. Semiramis became despondent and is said to have gone to the underworld for 3 days and three nights. The pagan gods decided that she could return to the earth in one of the moon's giant eggs. A large egg fell into the Euphrates River, where a dove pushed it to shore. Semiramis rewarded the dove by changing it into an egg-laying rabbit. The gods decided that Nimrod could not return to the earth since he had been carved up into many pieces, and all of them were found except one. But the gods planned that Nimrod could return as the reincarnated son of his wife. Tammuz, the reincarnation of Nimrod, is born on December 25th. Tammuz dies when he is 40 years old by a wild boar. Some of Tammuz's blood falls on an evergreen stump, and it amazingly grows into an entire tree. From all of the above, we get the rituals of celebrating December 25th as the birthday of our God with evergreen trees, because it's made sacred at the death of Tammuz. 40 days of Lent because Tammuz lived that many years. Easter egg hunts and decoration because that is when Ishtar came back to the earth from the moon in. Candles, torches, and flames used in religious services because it represents Nimrod or Baal. Ham dinner served because it was a wild boar that killed Tammuz, along with hot cross buns with a T on them. Genuflecting by making the sign of the cross or a T, and etc. Where is the scripture that says this is all true? The scripture is silent. Well, do you believe Mystery Babylon or the word of the Lord God of Israel? Was there a seed of the serpent lurking somewhere in the background? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, to be continued.